What you got there?
Oh, Cherokee Tan.
You about dropped it, didn't you?
About dropped it. Cherokee Tan.
Cherokee Tan so pumpkin.
It's a winner this year. It's one of my winners in the garden.
How many did we end up getting off that
flight? Oh, I don't know. I forgot. I quit counting. Won't you
look?
A heap of them. This is what Papa's...
Turn that way a little bit.
Papa's having this for supper. Yep.
Well, the other way.
For dinner. This way?
Yeah, that way. So they can
look
see
at
it.
So what I did is I took one and split it in half, and I cored out one, and I roasted it in the oven, some bacon, some good onions we had left over from the spring, put some Cavenders in there, some olive oil, topped it off with a little Parmesan cheese.
So instead of a bread bowl, you got a pumpkin bowl.
A pumpkin bowl. I want you to taste a little bit. Tell me what you think it tastes like, because it's got a unique taste to me. This I got it kind of nailed out. Don't get your opinion.
Got a good texture to it.
I think it's more like an acorn squash to me.
You know, Danny and them, they swore up and down that it tastes better than the Seminole.
It's pretty good.
I don't know if they might be right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's not like blow your doors off sweet.
Mm-mm.
But it's got a good...
It's got a good earthy flavor.
Good squash
me.
Flavor to it.
Yeah, good simple, good flavor to it.
We've had a lot of people asking, have we tried the Cherokee Tans yet, what we think about them? And,
now, I've not made a dessert out of them.
Not yet.
Not yet, but this is pretty doggone good. This is a good, healthy meal right there. Now, I would probably say, if you're going to do this, you need one pumpkin per individual.
One feller can eat.
One feller, if he's hungry, like he's a big old boy like me, he could eat one of them.
He eat a whole one of them.
Eat a whole one of them.
I would say we got close to about... I don't know, 60 or so off that one row.
18 seeds.
18 seeds. We got 60 pumpkins, something like that, if not a little more. We had a few that rotted out there. Mm-hmm. We probably could have got a little earlier. But so we're working on, we got to get these babies cut open. We got to get the seeds harvested out of them. And then hopefully we'll put them on the website once we get them germ tested. If the germ comes back good. Let's say hey to everybody while you're eating there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Row by Row Garden Show. I'm Travis.
And I'm Greg.
And we're excited to have you with us tonight. We got a really good show planned. We're going to talk a little bit later about pelleted seeds. What are pelleted seeds? Why are some seeds pelleted? And what's the benefits of having those? So we're going to dig into that. Is that good? You almost good. Ate that whole thing. What else you got here?
Well, I got to ask for some help.
Okay.
I had mentioned a while back about some multiplying onions.
Okay.
And I have been on a search for the last year trying to find some old, what we call old-timey multiplying nesting onions that we grew down here in the South when I was coming up.
Sets,
but they're called onions, but you're right, it's sets. So the old-timers called them multiplying onions or nesting onions. And I finally found some.
Okay.
In Thomasville, Georgia.
Okay.
And I bought everything they had.
Okay.
And I got a good menu of them. Now here is the thing. There's nothing on the internet about these. I can't find any research whatsoever about them. And this is what they look like. And this is what I remember them being.
Almost looks like a shallot.
It almost looks like a shallot, but it's long and slender. Well, on the internet, you find a lot of people talking about multiplying onions, and they're referring to a potato onion, which is what this is.
Okay.
And when you research nesting onions, this is mainly what you come up with is potato onions.
And that's a lot different
than
that.
And this is different. And this is not what I remember, but this is. Now, your 93-year-old grandmother agrees with me. She says this is the same thing. This is the nesting onion we're used to. Now, here's the thing about these. They don't go to seed.
Mm-hmm.
So you plant them and you let them grow like you normally would onions, and you dig them up in late spring. And you save your sets and you plant them back again. This is something that is absolutely sustainable because you can keep these in your, for generation and generation, pass them down. You can save your own sets. And that's what everybody did was save their own sets every year and they would plant them back and they called nesting onions.
So when you plant one of these, how many do you end up getting?
You'll end up with a cluster of them. See here how they run together?
Yeah, I just didn't know how many.
A lot of them. They multiply a lot. Multiply nesting onions. If you have any information, now, I don't know about in the North. All I know about is here in the South. If you have any information about these, please share it with us and help us understand the heritage on these somewhat, because all I know is what I'm familiar with. When I grew them, when I was in my 20s, I got some. Back then, somebody gave me some, but a lot of the old people grew them year after year after year, and they've just about gone extinct. They are hard to find. I felt lucky to find some, and we're going to plant a big crop of them for next year. But we need some information on them, if what anybody's got, what you call them variety-wise, or the experience that you've had with them. And if this is the one that you remember, see how there it's plopped together?
So you gonna try to grow a seed crop of these?
I'm going to grow a seed crop of these.
Try to get them back on the market.
Kind of like
we're trying to do with the Cherokee
team. A lot of people that's my age, and we've talked about these things, you can't find them anymore. They've gone, and it's a shame that such a wonderful food crop or a staple in our heritage is gone by the wayside, so we want to save these.
Hmm. So when are you going to plant these?
I'm going to plant them in November.
Okay.
But I do need the information. If you can help us somewhat with that, share it with us, call us. Go in the comments and put in there what you know about it. It's probably going to be some of the people that are on up in age, like me or more, that have information on these, and it would be greatly appreciated.
So those are different than what, like the Egyptian walking onions?
Yes, this is not the Egyptian walking onions.
Okay. Just to be clear.
Yep.
I know a lot of folks grow those things.
Yep.
What else we got going on? So I got cucumbers. I got pole beans about that tall. I've had a good bit of rain lately, which has been nice. I got okra out the wazoo. I'm talking about okra everywhere. And because I got 2 60-foot rows, and then I got 10 30-foot rows.
You did a later planting.
Yeah. It takes me about 30 minutes to go cut all my okra, pick it all. And I went on a twice-a-week cutting schedule. I'm actually able to cut it twice a week. And instead of cutting it every other day.
Really?
So I cut it on Wednesdays and cut it on Sundays. Now, every now and then I have one get too big on me, but I just drop that on the ground, no big deal. Mm.
The way I grow okra, you had to cut it every other day.
And that's what I do in the spring, but because I got so much of it and teaching and started back, and I don't have as much time. So I got my corn planted, did a video on that showing how we took that tarp off and got the ground ready there, laid our drip tape. And then next week you'll see actually planting the corn. I went with peaches and cream this fall. And the no-till stuff, we've had a lot of people, anytime I show a tiller in a video, the no-till brigade
boom
comes after me.
Hammers you.
Comes after me. And like I always say, there's just not a good way to do it on a small to medium scale. On a big scale, you got those big heavy seeders, those no-till seeders they can use. On a really, really tiny scale, small little raised bed, you could plant by hand, you could do no-till. But on a small to medium scale, when you want to use some walk-behind equipment, it's tough. That seeder won't, as heavy as it is, 35 pounds, it won't penetrate that unbroken ground.
And what most people may not understand, but on large-scale agriculture, when they talk about no-till, primarily they're talking about GMO crops.
Right. Corn,
things that they
cotton
can come there and spray with Roundup.
Yeah. So they're taking a cover crop. Obviously, they can't tarp 100 acres, so they kill it with Roundup, and then they go in there and plant in that residue that's dead.
Mm-hmm. And then they come back, if they have any weeds come up, or when they have weeds come up, and they spray Roundup over it again.
Yeah. No-till is actually, what people don't realize, it's the words become more popular, but it's actually way more of a commercial practice than it is a backyard practice, just because it's hard to do on our level. In my no-till video, we had a little appearance by a new family member, Tiger the Kitten.
Tiger Kitten.
We got back from Dallas. I showed up at the house, and my wife had just been to the grocery store, and she had acquired a kitten that was stranded there. And the plan was to find somebody to give it to, but the youngins and me have taken a little liking to it.
He liked to win up your shorts.
He did.
I thought myself.
Or she did.
This is going to get interesting real quick.
We didn't. We think it's a boy. We ain't quite sure yet. It's tiny, but it's quite the sport and loves everybody. So Tiger may stick around for a little bit.
So what are we going to talk about today?
So we're going to talk about pelleted seeds. We talk about pelleted seeds a lot, but I don't feel like we've ever really talked about pelleted seeds.
So we're going to talk about pelleted
seeds. We're going to talk about pelleted seeds today.
So I noticed in your videos, you'd starve to death if we was to tie your hands down.
Yeah, I got to have my hands now. I got to articulate. Somebody said, a comment on one of the videos, and compared me to a used car salesman commercial guy.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about pelleted seeds.
Let's talk about them right now. So first we want to talk about why seeds are pelleted, how the process works, and then we'll get into some of our pelleted varieties. So, and we might have to B-roll some of this in because I don't know if folks can see this. So certain varieties of seeds or certain crops have seeds that are irregularly shaped. Okay. And due to that irregularly shaped nature of those raw seeds, it can cause problems when people are trying to use mechanical equipment to plant them. This can be for a direct seeder in the field, or this could be many of your bigger companies, greenhouses, use what they call vacuum seeders to seed their transplant trays. And so this is a mechanism that goes on top of the tray, and it's got little holes that are centered on top of each cell, and it's got a little vacuum inside of it, and it kind of suctions them all down to each of those holes, drops them in there, and it seeds a tray a lot faster than if, like we do, if you were just dropping one per hole. So with those systems, with a mechanical planter and with those vacuum seeders for transplanting, you really need round seeds.
Now these are small seeds. When we say irregular and seeds, pelleting lends itself better to real small.
Yeah, we're not talking about corn and beans.
Small seeds. And there are some seeds out there that are really small and hard to handle. And that's where pelleting comes in and takes that away from us. Makes it easy to handle, easy to process.
So if we look at a seed like carrots, carrots are real tiny and they're kind of oval shaped and they're real kind of papery in nature.
Light and fluffy. And they're just a pain in the you know what. Any planter has a terrible time with raw seeds.
There's not really a walk behind planter out there. Now the old Planet Junior 300A will scatter them, but there's not anyone out there that can singulate these guys. And then you got something like lettuce right here. Lettuce is even more elongated than carrot seed is.
Mm-hmm. Light and fluffy. Yeah. It's absolutely a nightmare to try to plant.
So for certain things, you need round seeds. And for those vacuum planters and those mechanical seeders, and another benefit to making them round and pelleting them is you get a lot less dust. A lot of those seeds have kind of some dust inside of them. So when we pellet the seeds, they look like this. Turn that over there.
We had right on one side. Yeah. That's deep purple carrots right there.
So we pellet them and make them round. They work good in the vacuum seeders and they work good in the mechanical planters. Now, I don't know if anybody watching the show actually uses a vacuum seeder for their trays. Probably not. But the benefit of the pelleting is even if you're not using a vacuum seeder and you're seeding them by hand, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Not only that, I mean, transplanting in the greenhouse, this speeds up the process probably at least three times faster than using raw seed.
And you use less seed.
But even hand plant, let's just say you got a raised bed and you want to plant you just a few carrots in there. Pelleted is the way to go. You're going to waste so many more seeds trying to do it with raw seed, and the pelleted is so much easier. Even if you scatter them out by hand, it's a lot more productive, and you get these things more consistent out pelleted than you do with raw seed.
Get a little better spacing.
In my opinion, I don't know why anybody is not using pelleted seed. I don't care what process you use, whether you hand plant them, transplant them.
Well, probably because it's harder to find. A lot of people are not as familiar with it. There's only a few companies out there.
And that is one.
Including us that are selling pelleted seeds.
Yep. We buy some pelleted seed. It's already pelleted, bring it in. And we also have a company that's doing some pelleting for us. So we get a variety that's not pelleted. We'll send it off to them and get it done. And what this process details is they coat this with what they say an inert ingredient.
Yeah, which is basically clay.
It's a particular type of clay.
And so the way they do this is if anybody's ever seen a what they call a confectionery pan, but you can Google that and look it up. They basically put it in a tumbler with this clay, and this clay is sticky, and they just roll it around in this tumbler, and when all the seeds get to a certain size, they stop it. Okay, so this clay is going to stick to those seeds, and they roll it around in this tumbler, and they'll accumulate that clay and eventually get it to a certain desired size, and then they'll pull them out of there.
Now, this process is different than coating. A coating is when they coat a seed with a fungicide or an insecticide to make it stick to that seed that has properties that help when that seed starts coming up. Pelleting is different than coating. Although coating still uses a process with some inert ingredients, the primary thing they want to do there is to get that chemical to stick on there. What we're doing here is completely different than that. This is just a clay. So it's just one inert product around that seed there. And we're not coating these with particular type of insecticides or fungicides.
Right. And so when they pellet a seed, you're increasing the weight, you're increasing the size, and you're increasing the shape. Sometimes up to 6 times, depending on what you're working with. So I mentioned the seeds tumbling in there till they reach a certain size. Let's talk about which crops necessitate pelleting, and then we'll go through some of our varieties. So, lettuce.
Never have lettuce again.
And the main purpose in pelleting lettuce is for transplanting in the vacuum seeder. Not many people direct seed lettuce, unless it's the baby mix. But for head lettuce, it's being transplanted, so it makes it way easier to put it in the trays if it's pelleting. Carrots. Now, carrots is for a direct seeding application. You're not transplanting carrots. So with a seeder like our Hoss Garden Seeder, the pelleted carrot seed, you can actually singulate those and get some nice and precise spacing there. Beets. Beets are just like the carrots. You're direct seeding beets. If you want to direct seed beets, you really need them to be pelleted. The beet seed is kind of round, but it's got all these little knobs on it and stuff that makes it irregular, and it doesn't flow through a mechanical seeder very well. So making that round, you can plant those with a walk-behind planter.
And there again, it's the same thing. It's kind of, I ain't gonna say spongy, but it's very light and fluffy, and it just don't have any substance to it to be able to use in the seeder.
And then chard, we don't have pelleted chard seed yet, but we could get some soon. Chard is in the same family as beets. The seeds are the same. If you want direct seed chard or even transplant chard, having pelleted seed helps. And then onion. So I wanted to talk about onion just a minute here. So you were talking to somebody the other day who says the big farmers in Vidalia, they direct seed their onions instead of transplanting them, right?
Yeah, they said that, and this was the onion rip. So well, he has a lot of experience in that. And he told me something that I kind of thought, but I wasn't sure about. But he said they have better results growing onions in beds than they do in trays. We're going to try that and see.
Now, in doing that, I think you need some really stale weed seed bank to be able to pull that off.
Yep.
The germination is going to take a little bit. So the big onion farmers are using pelleted onion seed and planting them that way to get the big bulbs. Now, on the other hand, Bruce and them over at Dixon Dam, when they're growing their onion plants, they're trying to plant them thick as they can. And I actually talked to them and asked them, do they use pelleted seed? And they said no, because they can't get them thick enough. So they
use a Planet Junior. They don't use a seeder, they use a drill.
Right. And they need the smaller onion seed because they're just throwing them down there thick so they can pull them up as a bunch and wrap them up and send them to you. So I thought that was interesting. And then the last one is tomatoes. Tomatoes can be pelleted, and that's for ease of transplanting in the vacuum seeders there.
Some of these tomato seeds, hybrid tomato seeds, can run up to $6,000 a pound. So it's very important.
You don't want to waste those.
When they get that expensive, that you get something pelleted so you can handle and not have any waste on those.
Before we get into the pelleted varieties we carry, I want to talk about this process of priming, because a lot of our seeds are pelleted and primed. And
what is prime?
We're about to talk about that. So you see this a lot with tomatoes, lettuce. Lettuces are pelleted. If you buy our lettuce seed, I can promise you it will germinate faster than any lettuce seed you have ever bought. It's good stuff.
Why?
Because it's pelleted and it's primed. So what prime means is they manipulate the hydration level of the seed. So somebody a lot smarter than us has figured out that if you give that seed a certain amount of water, a certain amount of hydration, and then cut it off, then it will jumpstart that germination process, but it will stop it before that radical or that little stem, the first stem that comes out of the radical, it will stop it before that actually emerges. So it's hydrating it to a certain level and then cutting it off before that radical forms. And they've obviously got that down to a science. So it initiates certain metabolic steps of the germination process, but then stops it so you're not getting a seedling emergency.
I'm going to use that metabolic.
Metabolic. And what this does, not only does it allow for faster germination, but it allows for more uniform germination. Without the priming process, in a given tray, you may see certain cells, you know, you may see some variance as far as within 4 or 5 days, everything popping up. With the prime seeds, usually get them all popping at the same time.
I could say that'd be real beneficial with weed control. Get them up quick.
Yeah. So a lot of our lettuce seeds are pelleted and primed, and all the prime means is just they're jump-starting that process with water, basically. Nothing fancy there. Just some pretty remarkable science to be able to do that.
Yep.
All right, let's get into our pelleted varieties. We'll zip through these real quick. Let's start off with our lettuces. We were talking about those, and we've got seven varieties of pelleted lettuce. We're your go-to place for pelleted lettuce.
And primed.
That's right. So we got the cowshot, which is the green and red romaine. We've got the Cherokee, which is the real heat-tolerant red one.
Coastal Star romaine.
Another great romaine one.
Yeah, that's a solid green romaine.
Yeah. The Harmony Butterhead, which is one of my favorites. That's one of my go-tos fall throughout the winter. In addition to this one, the Skyphos. And then if you really like the Spring Crisp lettuce, we got two of those. We got the Starfighter, and we've got the Tahama.
Tahama.
Here.
So it's like an Indian name, maybe Tahama.
Yeah. So, seven varieties of pelleted lettuce, and we've also got quite a few of the carrots. And so we've got this new one, the Viper, which is the long, slender carrot. Yellowstone, so we have that in raw seed, but also have it in the pelleted. That's a go-to variety for me. The Scarlet Nantes, which is a great, if you want to put up some carrots, this is a good one to go to. Got that in pelleted.
Now on the website, they have the option of choosing raw or pelleted on some of these.
Yeah, rows. So if you go to our seed page and click Premium Garden Seeds and you'll click carrots, for instance, you'll see Yellowstone and then you'll see Yellowstone pelleted. So you can click either. So it's not on the same page, but you can click which one you're wanting there. For the carrots, with the raw seed, you get $7.50. With the pelleted, you get $2.50. And that's just because fewer will fit in a packet. The other pelleted ones we have, we've got this Gold Nugget carrot, which is a newer variety we just added. Deep Purple, which is a new one we added. I'm going to grow a bunch of those this year. And then we did get some of these pelleted, and you won't find these pelleted really anywhere else but here. We got the Danvers 126, or some people call it the Danvers Semi-Long.
That's the old standby there.
We got that one pelleted, good variety. And then my favorite orange one, the Bolero here, which is a hybrid, we got that one pelleted. So good stuff there. What's next? Beets. And we haven't finished pelleting all of our beets, but we've got a few pelleted beet varieties on the site. We've got the Early Wonder beet. Some people will call this Early Wonder Tall Tops, really known for its good tops. And this one matures a little faster than some of the others. So this is a open pollinated variety that you can't find pelleted anywhere else, and we get it pelleted for you, so it's easy to plant. And then the other beet we have right now pelleted is called Kestrel. This is a hybrid beet variety that's That's some disease resistant to Cercospora leaf spot, which is a really good brand. Right. And we've got more coming. We've got getting some Detroit dark red pelleted, some solo pelleted, and some Merlin pelleted. So more to come there on the beets. Alliums. We got two alliums that are pelleted. This Tadorna leek, which is your kind of standard open pollinated leek, and then the candy onion, which is a big hit. And we have been selling some onion
seed.
Man,
we have. Well, y'all better get your onion seed. I mean, you better get them quick.
And then lastly, even though it's not time of year to plant these, unless you have a real good greenhouse, our tomato seeds. And these hybrid tomato seeds cost a little more than your regular tomato seeds, so it's important to only get one per sale. And we've got the Bella Rosa, the Brickyard, and the Mountain Glory. And if you followed us back in the spring, you heard us talk
and
a lot about
those. If you've
ever
tried to plant a tomato seed in the greenhouse raw by hand, it's aggravating, to say the least. It's nearly impossible to do.
Even a fella with good eyes.
With good eyes, a good steady fella can't get none. Well, these pellet seeds, it makes life a breeze. You go up there and boom, 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 you throw.
You don't have to thin them. Get one per sale.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I like to put a couple seeds per sale, make sure I get every cell germinated. Well, these lettuces here that are primed, this says 95% germination on the back. I would say it's probably closer to 99% based on my experiences.
And that's like the tomatoes. When I'm doing, I put one per sale.
And I nearly get full tray.
Full tray.
So, go to our website, check out those pelleted varieties. They'll make your life a lot easier if you're doing transplants or if you're direct seeding with a walk behind planter. We've got a few questions.
Yeah, Mr.
From last week's show. Hold on just a second.
All right, I'm off already.
You're gonna jump the gun. So if we answer your question on the show, send us an email to cusserve@hosstools.com with your address, and we'll send you a nice little prize. And okay, you can go ahead now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
GP Barnes says, how do you grow carrots? Double rows on drip tape. Do they do good on drip in fall? Does drip tape freeze? And I'm gonna give this to you since you're the self-proclaimed carrot expert.
So I am around these parts known as the carrot man.
The carrot whisperer.
The carrot whisperer. I grow more carrots than any small scale gardener I know around these parts. So, and I've got several videos out there on it. If you wanna get the step-by-step, you can go in the archives and find those. So, yes, we do double rows on drip tape. I bury a row of drip tape. With our drip tape layer, it makes these two little nice, perfect mini furrows on each side of the tape once you cover the tape. And then I plant them thick. I'm talking about thick. I go down there and I get me a little bowl full of carrot seed and I just scatter them along that furrow there real thick. And then I take my rake and I just lightly cover them up. The trick with carrots is you got to keep that seedbed wet, 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 wet until them things germinate, which can take a week or two sometimes. So the drip, once I plant them, I'll let the drip run all night. I want to soak that bed. And then I'll keep it wet until they germinate. That is the trick. A lot of people don't give carrots enough water. They do awesome on the drip. You can keep plenty of water to them. The other good thing about the drip is it keeps the soil nice and moist. When you do go to dig them, they pull up a lot easier. They're gonna be able to penetrate further down. You're gonna get bigger carrots. So highly recommend planting them double rows on drip. And then he wanted to know, does drip tape freeze? So if you've never used drip tape, you probably don't know this, but the drip tape self-empties really well. So when you turn it off, it's not like a water hose with a spray nozzle on the end where it's going to hold water inside of it. It bleeds out flat. So it expands to being round when it's in use. Once you shut it off, it's going to bleed out flat. So we don't get freezing temperatures much, but I've never had any freeze. There's really not anything in there to freeze.
If I was in a northern climate, I would possibly unscrew my brass fitting where it hooks up to my water hose, and I knew it was going to get real cold. I would probably unscrew that and let it drain out just a little bit.
Oh, right there where your water hose?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. It'll, when you do that, it'll bleed out and flatten back down. So yeah, I wouldn't leave it hooked up with the water hose. All right, next question here is from Roman Nose 911, and pretty simple question. It just says, cut flower cover crops?
Sunflowers. So zinnias don't make a real good cover crop. The other flowers we sell don't make a very good cover crop. However, I think sunflowers are a perfect cover crop. They grow quick, you can plant them thick, and they shade out your weeds, and they are wonderful. I used them this fall as a cover crop. Extra added bonus is you get a big old nice sunflower bloom off of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sunflowers can be a great cover crop. Of all the flowers, I would say it's the only one I would consider a cover crop.
The zinnias and some of the other ones will reseed on you if you ain't careful.
That they're not dense enough to shade out the weeds. Cover crop has to have some benefit. And it would be weed suppression, nematode suppression, or
erosion
or whatever. And I don't see the other ones having a big benefit on that, but I do see it with the sunflowers. Sunflowers have a very dense root system that can help with erosion also. But, yep.
Those pro cuts that are hybrids, you ain't got to worry about those reseeding. Those work really well as a cover crop. You can direct seed them or you can transplant them. If I'm planting them real thick, I like to direct seed them. But that's up to you. But yeah, definitely works. All right, that is going to do it for us tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed that talk on pelleted seeds. If you have any more questions about pelleted seeds, why to pellet, what's it all about, put those in the comments and we'll be glad to get to them on next week's show.
Yeah, help us out on the onion question. We need some information, some help from some of you all out there that's got more knowledge than what I've got. So we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, and we hope all of our Floridian friends stay safe with Dorian coming along the way. Everybody batten down the hatches, and y'all be careful out there. We'll see you next week.